Well, good morning, church. Take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at a few verses this morning as we transition into a new series here in the book of 1 Peter. We were talking about our living hope, and if you remember, we step back and say, what was the entire book talking about? Peter is encouraging the persecuted believers there in Asia Minor. And so the first thing he says to them is, hey, listen, we have hope. It's a living hope. It's an assured hope. And the hope is in Jesus. And now he's transitioning, saying, let's talk about this hope and let's talk about our responsibility with what we've been given. And so we're going to walk into this idea of holy living, what God wants in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word this morning? 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13. Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance, but as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct, for it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Lord, as we look into your word, I pray that you would speak truth to our hearts. May we leave here changed for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, we're going to look at three things this morning dealing with the idea of God's command to us to be holy. The first thing we want to talk about is our settled hope. So we were just talking about our living hope, that in the person of Jesus Christ, who is alive today, we just sang about it in that song a couple minutes ago. We talked about the entire gospel in that song. The life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, the fact that the grave is empty. That we can have a living hope because he is alive today, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercessory prayer for each and every one of us. So because of that living hope, we can have a settled hope. So look there again at verse 13. Therefore, now stop right there. As good Bible students, you all know that when the word therefore shows up in Scripture, you need to find out, what is that therefore? This is corny. Therefore. So what do you have to do? You have to back up a minute. What were we just talking about? We were talking about this living hope of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is alive, because of the hope that we have found in Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of that, now we can keep on going on. Where it says, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the first question is, what is our settled hope? What is our settled hope? It's eternity with Jesus. It's life forevermore. It's knowing that from the moment that we leave this reality, we will be with Jesus in the next reality. 1 week ago, the big news of the day was the tragic death of Kobe Bryant and eight others in a helicopter crash in California. And when these things gather attention, sure, there's shock that takes place, and there's the idea of, man, he was too young, and all of those other families, they were too young. There was so much loss and so much devastation right there, and you're disturbed by that, and you're heartbroken for that. And then you begin to see a little bit more about who was the person of Kobe Bryant, some of these other people. And you see in Kobe's world that he began to transition into this person that we would call a good person. There was a lot of giving back that he did. There was a lot of mentoring that he did. A lot of great things. And then you find out that the morning of the crash, he attended Mass at a Catholic church, that he was a devout Catholic. And you look at that and you say, man, life can change so quickly and so permanently. And so you begin to say, as a believer, you begin to say, man, I hope that he was more than just a devout Catholic. I pray that there was actual belief in Jesus Christ, because the moment that he exited this world, he went to his eternity, where he's going to be for all of eternity. When we're talking about a settled hope, we're saying those of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone know for certain where we will be in the moment that we leave this life. That's a settled hope. That's what Peter is talking about here. C.S. Lewis said this, "Our lifelong nostalgia, our longing to be reunited with something in the universe from which we now feel cut off, to be on the inside of some door which we have always seen from the outside, is no mere neurotic fancy, but the truest index of our real situation. And to be at last summoned inside would be both glory and honor beyond all our merits, and also be the healing of that old ache." What is he saying there? He's saying, listen, this isn't a fantasy. This isn't fiction. This isn't something that we are just kind of hoping maybe someday down the road we're wishing for, but rather we're saying this is our truest reality. A settled hope is found in Jesus Christ. You see, because God is eternal, because God sits outside of time and space, because God is omnipresent, the believer's eternity in heaven is as sure as if they were already there. You see, we know in our reality right now, right here, we're in this moment, we're right here. But because of our faith in Jesus, if you have put your personal faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, that he died for your sins, he was buried and rose again, if that is your life, then your eternal security is as though you were already in heaven. Because your name has been written in that book that it can't be erased from. It can't be blotted over. It can't be have whiteout on it or anything like that. It's a settled hope. It's a done deal. See, the hope that we have is not a, it's not a wish it's so kind of hope. It's a know it's so kind of hope. But the question that we'd ask next is, how is our hope settled? Three things that we can determine about our settled hope. Number one, that we have a determined mind. A determined mind. You see what he says there? Therefore, with your minds ready for action. The great theologian Henry Ford said this, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. See, there's something to be said about having our minds set on something. If we think that we will never live for Jesus the way the Bible describes, then that's exactly what will happen in our lives. Now, this is not the power of positive thinking that we're going to get all, you know, new agey or anything like that. This is just a proven fact that when we determine something in our minds and say, I am going to be the man, the woman, the teenager that God wants me to be, this is my path, this is the way I'm going to go, when we set our minds in that direction, that we're halfway down the road. But not only a determined, a disciplined mind. Have a discipline. Warren Wiersbe, who actually was a great theologian, said this, when you center your thoughts on the return of Christ and live accordingly, you escape the many worldly things that would encumber your mind and hinder your spiritual progress. So Peter says, have your minds ready for action. Be sober-minded. What does that mean? What sober-minded means I'm clear thinking. I'm clear thinking about everything that God has called me to do. You see, we try to make the Christian life so much more difficult than it really is. Usually it's because we haven't, for ourselves, spent time in the Word of God. You say, well, I can't read, I can't understand that. Sure you can. Pick up your Bible. Maybe you got to pick up a dictionary and go to work. Ask some questions. Study, search. We talked about that just recently. Being one who diligently studies the Bible. We talked about that with the prophets, right? That they were studying intently the Old Testament scriptures to find out about this idea of grace. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul goes to Berea, it said that the Bereans were above average in that they would hear Paul and go home and study the scriptures to see if what he was saying was actually true. You know what we do now? we turn on the TV or we find a clip on Facebook of some no-name preacher somewhere spouting something off, and we just believe it. Instead of spending time studying the Word of God so that when we are presented with something that's false, we can be like, oh, that's not right. Don't be a dumb sheep. Now, God refers to his people as sheep all the time, right? Why is that? Because we're dumb. All right? Don't be an extra dumb sheep. What does a sheep do? Listens to the shepherd's voice and follows him, right? That's what we need to do. How do we listen to God's voice? By spending time in the Word of God. We talk about it all the time, God daily. It's one of our kind of core tenets, right? God daily, that we believe that every single Christian needs to be spending time with God every single day. If you grab your bulletin, I don't know if this is this week's or last week, this week's. All right, right here, what do we have in this little yellow section? This week's passages, if you're following along in the Word of Life quiet time, that you can go, and that's the passage that many of us are working on. And we put it out there, not because we needed something to fill that space, but because we believe it is essential in the life of the believer to be spending time with Jesus every single day. Now, does that mean that you've got to spend 6 hours in the Word of God? No. But start where you are. Start with 5 minutes. Go to 10 minutes. Go to 20 minutes. Whatever. Start where you are and work to know God's Word so that we can be disciplined. But then thirdly, we need to have a dedicated mind. Look what Peter said there at the end of verse 13. Set your hope completely. There's no plan B. When Peter here says, set your hope completely, he's not saying, listen, you should try this out, but also kind of have a backup plan over here. He's not saying, yeah, we think this is probably good, but just in case, you might want to have something else going on in case that's not really real. No, he's saying, there's one way. That's what Jesus said, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Peter here says, set your hope completely on the grace. Be all in. Be 100% saying, listen, I'm putting everything else aside, everything out. I'm going to be all about Jesus. You say, well, what about my school or what about my work or what about my family? Listen, when we're all in on Jesus, all those other things are going to be all right. When we start saying, well, I would do this. I would spend time with Jesus, or I would go to church more. I would go on mission to London, or I would show up on Wednesday night, or I would serve in some area, except for we're not set completely on God's grace. Be dedicated. Be laser focused. So much so that everything else, in comparison, seems minuscule. In order to walk through life's hard times, our hope must be settled in our own hearts and minds. It's Jesus plus nothing. Our eyes are firmly fixed on him regardless of the storms around us. See, remember, we keep saying this book is about persecution. We haven't really gotten there yet. Because Peter's laying the groundwork. He's laying the bedrock here and saying, this is where we need to start. We need to build here. When we build here and we're focused on the right thing, then it doesn't matter what's happening. I think there was this guy named Jesus that said kind of a similar thing. He said, the foolish person is the one who builds his house on the sandy land. And when the storms come, the floods come, it washes away and there's nothing left. But the wise man, what's he do? He builds his house on the rock. And it doesn't matter what the storms look like. It doesn't matter what comes into life. When they're built on the rock, the house will stand strong. Jesus wasn't talking to some of us who are in construction saying, this is how you build a house. He was talking to all of us and saying, this is how you build your life. Oh, and by the way, the rock, that's Jesus. So our settled hope is saying, I'm anchoring in, I'm digging down deep on Jesus and Jesus alone in order that I can withstand what's going to come. Our settled hope, number two, our call to holy living, our call to holy living. Look at verses 14 and 15. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance, but as the one who called you is holy, you are also to be holy in all your conduct. Now, we need to notice something very interesting about the wording here. This is not an optional statement. This is not, hey, if you feel like it. This is not if you choose. This is command. This is a command that we are to be holy. Why? Because we're obedient children. Now, sometimes we're not obedient children, but does it change the fact that we're still God's children? No. Those of us who are parents, we've all had times, I won't share any stories because my daughters are in here. I have lots of them. But we all have times where our children are disobedient and times that maybe we feel like selling them to Josh or something. I don't know. But just because they're disobedient doesn't change the fact that they're our children, right? We're still God's children. And even when we walk in disobedience, the command is still there to be holy. So he talks about two things here. Number one is the idea of putting off. Putting off. Paul, and we're going to look at some of these passages. Paul talks about putting off and putting on a lot in his writings. You know why? Because it's important. It's important in our lives. And this is what he's saying. First of all, don't conform to the world. He says, Peter says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. Don't be conformed to the world. So Paul says this in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. I love this, it says don't conform, but be transformed. You know how we're transformed? By spending time with Jesus every single day. By spending time in his word, by studying it. By memorizing it, by internalizing it, by determining in our minds that we are going to live for Jesus. That's what Paul is saying here. John says this, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Don't be conformed. Don't be like everyone else. We are called here to be different, to be strangers, to be pilgrims, to be set apart. We're not like everyone else. Stop trying to be like them. Don't seek after the things that they're seeking after. Don't desire the things that are in their hearts. Desire righteousness and holiness and purity and integrity. But then the second thing that we see here is we need to remove that which is sinful. Don't be conformed. Remove that which is sinful. Paul says this in Colossians 3. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now, put away all of the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices. Remove that which is sinful. I've shared this illustration with you numerous times. And I'm going to share it again today because it's so clear to me, as an example of how we need to be in Jesus. Sculptor was standing in front of a large block of marble, and he was going to sculpt an elephant. Someone else came up and said, how do you sculpt an elephant? He said, it's real simple. You chip away everything that doesn't look like an elephant. In our lives, how do we look like Jesus? It's real simple. We just remove everything that doesn't look like Jesus. Now, it sounds really simple, doesn't mean it always is, right? Living for Jesus is difficult. There's so many things tugging at us. There's so many distractions in our lives. We're so busy. We're so connected. All of those things can pull us away from relationship with Jesus. That's very easy to happen. But the simplicity is we just need to live like Jesus. So we put off. But then he goes on to say, put on. Put on. You know, basically what he's saying here is emulate Jesus. Emulate Jesus. Look what Paul goes on to say in Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also are to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ, to which you are also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. John goes on to say, the one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Emulate Jesus. Now, what's very easy for us to do when we see things like this is for us in our lives to say, okay, here's the things that I can't do, and here are the things that I have to do. The Christian life is not a list of do's and don'ts, even though we literally just read a list of do's and don'ts. You see, what it is it's not do these things and you'll be like Jesus, but rather be with Jesus and you'll do these things and you'll stay away from those things. So that's a completely different mindset. The mindset of I have to do is not about Jesus, it's about you. And guess what? You'll never do it. Never. But if we focus on being with Jesus, spending time with him, emulating him, we're going to find out in our lives, those are the things that are going to come out. We're going to put away certain things and we're going to put on certain things. We're going to remove certain things and we're going to install certain things. Not because we're saying I have to do these things to be accepted by Jesus, but rather I have been accepted by Jesus. Therefore, this is what's coming out of my life. I'm just being with him. I'm abiding in him. I'm loving God. That's who I am. That's what I'm doing. So we say this, the Christian life is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a call to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. It's loving God, loving others, and sharing his story. Our call to holy living. Number three. Our reason for holiness. Our reason for holiness. Look at verse 16. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now I'm going to drop a bombshell on you. Ready? Here is the reason that we are to be holy. Because God is holy. Say, where'd you get that from? Literally from the Bible. Because God is holy, we are to be holy in all areas of our lives. When it says here, for it is written, be holy because I'm holy, we can actually take that back to the book of Leviticus, a number of times that God, as he was laying out the Old Testament law and saying, here's the law, here are the things that you have to do, here are the sacrifices, here are the festival, here are the feasts, here's just everything about life, and he was kind of laying them out. Repeatedly, he kept saying this, be holy. I pulled one of them out from Leviticus 20, and he says this, consecrate yourselves and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sets you apart. So this is one of those moments that I studied the Bible with a dictionary. That word consecrate, what does that mean? It means to be pure and to be clean, to remove from the ordinary, to be set apart. So here's what God is saying. He's saying this is what you need to do in your life. You need to remove yourself from that which is ordinary. You need to set yourself apart. You need to be pure and you need to be clean. Now, in the Old Testament, when they were under law, the way that that took place, there were some ceremonies, some rituals that they had to do. There were sacrifices that were pictures of Jesus' sacrifice. Everything in the law, literally points to Jesus. The whole law was there to say, hey, don't do these things and think you're okay, but rather you can't do these things. There is one who's coming. The promised Messiah who is coming will be the fulfillment of the law. In fact, Jesus said that when he was on earth, didn't he? He said, I fulfilled these things. I didn't come to destroy it. You see, we are to set ourselves apart from the world because God has set us apart from the world. See, God has already done that. That's redemption. He set us apart. But then we are also to do it. That's fellowship. You see, God looks at each one of us who are believers in Jesus, and he says, I see the righteous blood of Jesus over you. I'm setting you apart. I'm consecrating you. I'm marking you as holy. You're different. I'm redeeming you back from sin and from Satan. He set us apart. And then in our lives, in order to walk in fellowship, what do? We say, because God has already set me apart, I am going to set myself apart. That's fellowship. This comes from emulating Jesus, from abiding in him, from walking with him, from loving God. That's where this all stems from. Peter's not sitting here and beating us over the head and saying, you guys are all idiots and sinners and you need to change your life. Some of us, we're idiots and sinners and we need to change our lives. But that's not what he's doing. He's saying, listen, walk with the Lord. Be holy. God is holy. He wants you to be as he is. So walk with him in fellowship. Walbert and Zuck say this does not speak of legal requirements, but is a reminder of a Christian's responsibility in his inner life and outer walk. Though absolute holiness can never be achieved in this life, all areas of life should be in the process of becoming completely conformed to God's perfect and holy will. I love that the reminder is right there that complete holiness will never be achieved. You know what that means? When you mess up, not if, when you mess up, it's okay. It's not okay to keep going down that road, but it's okay. You know why? Because of the blood of Jesus, because of the grace of God, because of the mercy and loving kindness of God. God is the God of second chances and third chances. And fourth, and fifth, and he's got a mercy and grace. The psalmist writes in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he will fall, he will not be utterly cast down, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Man, I'm so grateful for that. Because it's saying that as we're walking in obedience, guess what's going to happen? We're going to fall. It's going to happen. Sometimes, just as we're walking around in life in general, we fall, right? So why would it be any different for us spiritually? We're not perfect. We have this sin nature that's constantly warring inside against who God wants us to be. But in the midst of it all, God is still going to restore us, forgive us, and allow us to walk in fellowship. But we don't stay in that sinfulness. We need to be continually in the process of being set apart, of being made holy, of walking towards closer relationship with Jesus. Because the God who loves us and gives us an eternal hope is holy, we need to strive to live holy in every area of our lives. This is a natural outflow as we seek to love God and abide in him daily. When we're spending time with God, when we're emulating Jesus, when we're loving God, when we're abiding in him, what comes out of our lives is exactly what we've put into our lives. And if we're putting Jesus into our lives, Jesus comes out of our lives. That's the process of becoming holy. It's the process of sanctification, of being set apart. By the way, the word sanctified literally just means to be set apart, to be made holy. Three takeaways and we're going to be finished. Number one, I will walk through hard times in my life. Therefore, my eyes need to be set on Jesus, my mind set on eternity, my hope set on His grace. I must remember my settled hope in the Lord. In the Old Testament, in the book of 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, we see snippets of many of the kings of Israel and of Judah. And one of the descriptions that shows up time and time again of these kings is either he walked in the ways of David his father and did not turn from the right or to the left, or he did not walk in the ways of David his father and he did not follow the statutes and ordinances of the Lord. I love that first one. I love the word picture there. He walked in the ways of David his father and did not turn to the right or to the left. You know what that is? That's a laser focus on Jesus. That is a determined and dedicated mind. That is saying, regardless of what's happening around me, I'm all in, completely set on the hope of Jesus. Now, doesn't mean that those people never sinned. It just means that in their life, the main thrust, the main goal was holiness, of living for the Lord because they were already walking with Him. Takeaway number two, I'm called to daily holy living. This means I need to remove the things that God calls unholy and install the things that God calls holy. I may need to make major changes in my life for this to occur. Some of us, probably most of us in here, I would say there's probably just some minor tweaks that we need to make. Because of the fact that we showed up to church this morning means that generally there's some sense of, I want to live for the Lord. Generally some sense of that. So we might need to make a couple little adjustments here and there to fine-tune some things so that we're walking more in step with the Lord. There might be some of us in here that we've just got to scrap it all and start all over again because we're really not living for the Lord. But whatever it is, we might need to make changes so that we can walk in daily holy living. Takeaway number three. There's one reason why I need to be holy. Because God is. I'm called to emulate Jesus in all that I do, say, and think. This will be a natural outflow as I seek to abide in Him daily. In our lives, hard times are going to come. It might be a hard time of sickness. It might be a hard time of loss of job, death, divorce, work problems, school problems. There's so many. And if our hope is not completely set on Jesus, those things will destroy us. Satan wants nothing more in life than to keep us to where we're not effective for the Lord. But if we can remember, I'm called to be holy because Jesus is holy, and we focus in completely on His grace, and we seek to abide in Him every single day, what comes out is going to be the ability, maybe not necessarily to enjoy those things we're going through, but to make it through those things intact. So Peter's getting ready to talk to these believers about some persecution. We can go back in church history and see some of the things that took place under some of the emperors, some of the horrendous things that happened, things that we don't here in Springboro, Alabama have to face. And he's saying those things are going to come, those things are already happening. Lock in on Jesus. Focus in on Him. Walk with Him. Love Him. Abide in Him. When we do that, we're going to see the outcome of walking through those hard times and what it's going to do in our lives and the lives of those around us. You're going to have to come back in the coming weeks to find out what we really mean about that. But for us today, here's what we need to walk away with. Be holy because God is holy. Jesus, this morning as we have gathered, we have come to worship you. We've come to fellowship together, but we've come to hear from you. And so, Lord, this morning, we hear and understand your call in our hearts and lives is that of holy living, that we are called to be holy. And so, Lord, I pray that for every single one of us, starting right here with me, that this would be the desire of our hearts, that we would earnestly desire to walk with you, to abide in you, to love you, to be holy. So, Lord, I pray this morning that as we enter these few moments of reflection, that if there are changes, major or changes minor, that we need to make, that, Lord, we would take care of that business this morning. That we would be determined in our minds that we want to live for you. That we'd be all in on the grace that is set before us. Father, I pray not only for those of us in here that know you, but for those of us who don't, that this morning would be life-changing. Father, I pray this morning that there would be those who have no relationship with you that would begin relationship this morning. So, friend, I'm just going to ask you in this moment of quietness, I'm going to ask you two questions. Question number one, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Not are you in church, not do you know about him, do you personally know? Has there been a point in time in your life where you said, yes, I believe that Jesus is God, he died for my sins, he was buried and rose again. I'm all in. I believe. Is there a time? If not, this morning, greatest time would be right now for you to say, yes, I believe. In just a moment, we stand to sing. Pastor Josh will be right down here. I'll be right down here. If you don't know Jesus, you can just come and grab one of us. Turn to the person next to you and say, I need to know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Question number two. For those of us in here this morning that we can say, yes, I know that I know that I know Jesus. Here's the question for you. Are you actively pursuing holiness in your life? Are you actively consecrating yourself? Are you choosing to live holy because God is holy? If not, would you just have a conversation with the Lord this morning? You can do that in your seat. You can do that down here at the stairs. You can come and talk to Pastor Josh and myself. Don't leave here in the same manner that you came in. If you're not pursuing the Lord, make changes today. Don't keep going down that path. You won't regret it. Not for 1 minute. Jesus, this morning I pray that you would allow us to respond in the way that you want us to, that we respond in obedience to you, not only in this moment, but in the moments and days and weeks and years to come, for your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name.